1 John chapter 1, verse 3, stand with me as we read God's word together today. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Pray with me. Father, thank you for these words. Help us this morning as our act of worship to understand them and apply them to our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Today's message is entitled, Finding Complete Joy. That's not my term, as you notice, that's a biblical term. We're going to see that in several passages this morning. Finding complete joy. Do you remember the last time you were so filled with joy that you were glowing, smiling ear to ear? You couldn't get the smirk off your face, bright-eyed, giddy, laughing. Your happiness was spilling over and everybody could see it. Without realizing it, you found yourself singing. You were so full of joy. Maybe you were like that 20 minutes ago, or 2 days ago, or 20 months ago, or 20 years ago. How long has it been since your joy was complete and overflowing? I'm not talking about just hypothetically. I mean, really, realistically, literally. When was the last time you were so full of joy that people came up to you and said, "What is going on? You're just beaming today." Now, they may come up and said, you're mad. I can tell. What's wrong with you? What's the matter? We get that a lot. But when was the last time somebody came up to you and said, "My goodness, what are you so happy about?" Joy. Sometimes it's not easy to find in this world. So many problems, so much division and discord, hatred, strife, anxiety, politics, bills, pills, and trips to the dentist. There's something always out there that distracts our joy. Are you sitting there right now filled with joy? Or is it something else? Something less? This morning, I want to offer you joy right out of Scripture. Overwhelming joy, overflowing joy, what the Bible calls complete joy. You're going to see that you can have this even if you've been severely flogged and beaten and you're in stocks in a prison and things don't look good. You can still find yourself sitting there singing songs to Jesus Christ, glorifying your God, smiling ear to ear, complete joy. Well, you'll find that joy in three ways today, simply. And the first way you'll find complete joy, I'm going to say this, but complete joy is found only in Christ. Complete joy is first and foremost found only in Christ. Now, that truth has two parts to it. First, true joy is found in knowing Christ. If you've become a Christian, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, that fact, that moment, that minute that you heard the gospel, responded, and you surrendered your life and yourself to Jesus Christ, that transforming moment that changed your life forever results in joy. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas went to Philippi, which is in Greece. At the time, it was called Macedonia, but it's today in Greece. As you know, and I've shared with you recently, Philippi was the very first church that they planted, that Paul planted. And so they're in Philippi. This is brand new for them. You know, if you want to be a missionary with the Southern Baptist Convention, the International Mission Board, you have to go to college. You have to go to seminary. You have to get a degree and learn how to go into the mission field. And then when you surrender to the mission field, they go put you through training. And then you move to your country, wherever the International Mission Board sends you. And for the first 2 years, you don't do a lot. As a missionary, you're in training. You learn the language, you learn the customs, you learn, you get a place where you live, you get all settled in, and kids get in school, and all these things have to be taken care of. And once you're established, and you know the culture, and the customs, and the language, and the people, that's when you really begin. Well, in the first century, they had no seminary. They had no International Mission Board. In fact, they had no pass. They had no booklet, no internet to teach them anything or guide them to anything. It was Paul and Silas and a few others. They just got on a boat, went to Greece, and figured it out. But God blessed them, God led them and guided them, and they ended up in Philippi first. Well, how did that go? It went pretty good at first. They walked by a river. There were some ladies there washing some clothes or doing something, and they shared the gospel with them. And one of them, a lady named Lydia, gave her life to Christ, and her whole family were baptized there in that river. As I've shared with you a few months ago, a group of here in this church and I were at that exact spot where we think that Lydia was baptized there at Philippi. A few days later, Paul and Silas were walking through town, and there was a girl who was a slave girl, and she was possessed by an evil spirit. And this evil spirit gave her, whether it was real or counterfeit, I can't tell you, but the people thought she had this supernatural ability to predict the future. Now, I don't know if you have spiritual gifts or not, but your spiritual gifts should come from the Holy Spirit. Her gift came from a different spirit, an evil spirit. She kept calling out after them day after day. Finally, Paul turned around, annoyed, and said to her, "Get out." And that evil spirit was cast out of her. Now, you think they would have a big party, but they did not, because her owners were mad because she lost the gift, the ability to predict the future. They got mad, so they made everybody else mad. And before long, within minutes or a few hours, the whole town was in an uproar, and they wanted to kill Paul and Silas. It was that bad. Cast out one evil spirit from one girl, and the whole town wants to kill you. Well, they arrested Paul and Silas. They beat them, flogged them severely, and then threw them in jail before they even knew what was going on. Didn't even know Paul was a Roman citizen or anything. They just grabbed him, arrested them, beat them, and threw them in jail. That night in jail, in the middle of the night, as guards were guarding them, there was a big earthquake. God sent an earthquake and an angel, and the doors of the prison were all busted open. They were in stocks, hands and feet. All of that fell off of them. And in the night, the guard, noticing that the doors were all open, thought they've escaped and decided to kill himself. But before he could do that, Paul called out to him, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." Now, that guy was stunned, of course, by the fact that they were still there. He had heard Paul and Silas singing rather than complaining. By the way, if I had a back full of bloodied wounds and I was in a cold, dark cell in shackles, I can't promise you that I would be singing songs. I can't promise you that I would have the joy of the Lord. I want to think that I would, and I can tell you that I would, but I don't know if I would or not. We come from a really whiny world and a complaining culture, and it's easy for us to slip into that without a beating, without being thrown in prison, without being in cuffs, without being falsely accused. How quickly our joy goes away. He listened to them, apparently, when they were singing their songs and giving their testimonies to the other prisoners. And so his response was, immediately when Paul called out, he said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" It shocked him into coming into Christ. And then in Acts chapter 16, verse 34, the only verse I want to show you from that is this statement: the jailer brought them into his house, something he had never done, I assure you, to any prisoner, and set a meal before them, another thing I assure you he'd never done for a prisoner. He was filled with what?
Joy.
He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. So joy is found in knowing Christ. But a complete joy also is not found in just knowing Christ, but it originates from Christ. Did you know that real joy, complete joy, emanates from Christ? There's only one source for real joy, and that's Jesus Christ. So you won't get it in that new car, that new house, that new spouse, or that new career, or whatever you're looking for joy from. You'll never get it from them. It will only come from Christ, and I can prove it. Just before his arrest, the very night of his arrest, he's giving last teachings to his disciples. Jesus says this in John chapter 15, verse 11. "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." So if you want complete joy, it only comes from Jesus Christ. He said, "I've been teaching you this because I want my joy in you." Did you know that Jesus wants his joy in you today, right now? He's the source of the joy. In John 17:13, the same night, he says to the disciples, "I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy with them." And so if you don't have a lot of joy today, it may be that you've been looking for joy in the wrong place, because it only comes from Christ. That's real joy, complete joy, and it comes from Christ alone. In Luke chapter 1, Mary, who was expecting Jesus, young teenage girl, conceived by the Holy Spirit, she went to stay with her aunt for a while, Elizabeth. And as you know, Elizabeth was also pregnant, even though she was a senior adult, probably 70 or 80 years old. She was elderly. And she has an unborn child in her by the name of what? John the Baptist. Now, they didn't call him John the Baptist then, but but he was John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer. And so John is not born yet. Jesus is not born yet. But when Mary gets close to Elizabeth, even though he's not born yet, he's right here in his mother's womb, he recognizes that he's in the presence of Jesus. And the Bible says he leapt within her womb. Do you remember that? But the Bible also says this specifically, that he leapt for joy. Did you know that a pre-born baby can have joy in his mother's womb? That's why I'm pro-life. That's not the only reason. But it tells me that John was already alive. He had a certain level of consciousness, and somehow he had some sort of spiritual awareness that God gave him to help him realize that he was in the presence of Jesus. Amen. And he leapt for joy. I find that remarkable. True joy comes from the source, and that is Jesus Christ. Secondly, complete joy is not only found in Christ, but complete joy is found in sharing Christ. This is one of the sources of joy that are most neglected and overlooked in our world by professing Christians. Over 200 million Americans claim Christ, but how many are sharing their faith in Christ? 15 million Southern Baptists, how many are sharing their faith in Jesus Christ? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says this, our passage for today. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. There's their testimony. So that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He said, we're sharing our testimony so that you can have fellowship with us as we're having fellowship with God the Father. And then he says in verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. It was something about sharing their testimony and their faith in Christ with others that made their joy complete. Now, I don't know if you've ever shared your faith with anyone or not, if you've ever led anyone to faith in Christ, but there is no greater joy in the world than seeing somebody's life transformed who did not know until you shared with them. I did something this week that sometimes I do and sometimes I regret it. Often I dismiss it. But this week I asked Google's AI about the joy of the Lord in the Bible. Got an interesting answer. In fact, I'm starting to wonder if Google AI isn't a Christian. Or they're under conviction. I don't know if it's sentient or not, but this is the response that it gave me, or part of it. Here's why sharing your faith is joyful. That was the question I gave it. Number one, it reflects God's joy, just as I shared with you. God rejoices when people come to know him and experience salvation. Sharing your faith allows you to participate in this divine joy. It calls it divine joy. I love that because that's true. It's divine joy. In contrast to the fake joy that you get in this world. Number two, it fulfills a divine mandate. Christians are called to share the good news of Jesus with others, making it a duty and a privilege. Now, you're getting preached at by Google AI right now. I find that extraordinary. Number three, it leads to personal growth. Sharing your faith can deepen your own understanding of God's truth and his love for you. Number four, you get to witness transformation. Seeing someone to faith and experience the life-changing power of Christ is a deeply rewarding and joyful experience. Number five, strengthens community. Sharing your faith can lead to deeper relationships with other believers as you encourage and support each other. That's what John was saying to his congregation, to that church, why he was writing that. He wanted to share in that fellowship, and he wanted them to share in the fellowship that he had with God. It brings personal revival. Sharing the gospel can ignite a fresh sense of passion and purpose in your own faith. It aids in spiritual warfare. Sharing your faith can also help others resist spiritual attacks. And it actually said this, sharing your faith is a practical way to love others. You say you love your neighbor. Have you shared the gospel with them? You love your relatives. Have you shared the gospel with them? Then it also says it's a key to spiritual success. Sharing your faith is a key to personal revival and spiritual growth. You understand, again, I have John 15:5 on our fireplace out there, where Jesus tells us to abide in him and he will abide in us. And if that happens, that we will bear much good fruit, because that's our purpose in life, individually, in our family, and in our church, in the kingdom. Our function is to bear much good fruit. Do you think it's possible to have a fruit-bearing life that pleases God, to have a fruitful life spiritually, and yet never share your faith with anybody? There are other gifts where we can bear fruit, but you cannot neglect that gift. You cannot ignore that gift. It's not either or, it's not a buffet where you have some of this and have some of that. I'll bear fruit over here and bear fruit over. You've got to share your faith in Christ. And then lastly, it yields eternal rewards. Sharing the gospel can result in everlasting rewards in heaven. So here are some ways that Google told me that you can share your faith. It went on to give me a guide on how to share your faith. These are all out of scripture. Number one, live a godly life. Let your actions and character be a positive example of faith. Now, you and I know, do we not? We know how we can behave that will turn people away from Christ. And you can read testimony after testimony of people online who say, I will never go back to church because, and they talk about this person or that awful Christian or that certain person that says they're a believer. Sometimes it's the preacher. Be careful. Let your actions and your character be a positive example of faith. Share your testimony. Invite others to church. Engage in conversations. Be a good listener. Pray for others. Be bold and loving in your walk with God. And then lastly, remember God's power. Trust that God will work through you to touch somebody else's heart. You're not on your own. You're not alone. God is with you. Number three, complete joy is not only found in knowing Christ and sharing Christ, but complete joy is found in helping others grow in Christ. Now that may sound boring. We call that discipleship. You call it whatever you want, but it is tremendously important and integral to Scripture. Complete joy, if you really want complete joy, you will find it in helping others come to Christ, but also grow in Christ. In 3 John verse 3, I'd say it's chapter 1, but there's only one chapter. 3 John verse 3, he says this, it gave me great joy, there's the word, to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. There is the discipleship part, the growing, that they're continuing to walk in the truth. And then verse 4, I have no greater joy, there's the word again, than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. That means after their salvation, they are moving forward with their faith. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul shares with the church in Philippi. He says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, listen to what he says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And that is very much what the discipleship of our church and every church should be about. It's being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Now, having given you those three steps to finding complete joy, let me give you a quick warning before we go. Always remember, Satan hates joy. He hates it. He really hates it. And if you're filled with joy today, Satan can't stand that, and he's going to do everything he can this week to rip that away from you. In Galatians chapter 4, apparently Satan succeeded. If you look with me there, Galatians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says to the church in Galatia, as you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you didn't treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, or, he says, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. Now, that's really honoring somebody. And then he says, heartbreakingly, in the next verse, what has happened to all your joy? It's gone. He says, I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Now, we can speculate and guess. We know that Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and so we're speculating that he had bad eyesight. He apparently got sick or an illness of some kind, and it cost him his eyesight or much of it. And I think he's saying to them, if you could have, you would have given me your eyes. You loved me that much. You had that kind of enthusiasm and that joy in the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ. Where'd it go? Because now infiltrators came into the church with heresy, trying to get them to go back to Judaism and slandering Paul. And some of the church members are now believing what they have to say. And they're not so big on Paul anymore. So Paul reminds them, hey, remember when we first met? Oh, that was awesome. You guys were amazing. You were so good to me. You had joy, but what happened? What happened? Do you remember when you first got saved, Christians? When you first came to Christ? You weren't angry or bitter when you got into the baptistry, were you? You weren't yelling or swearing or cussing? No, you had joy. And for some of us, God would say, what happened to all your joy? I've told you that my mother taught me the first song I ever learned. It was a little song called Deep and Wide. Remember that song? Deep and Wide, Deep and Wide. I remember sitting on the, we had a large swing in the backyard, and we'd sit on that swing. The second song I ever remember, not more than 4 years old, I remember one of the very few memories I had of that age, perhaps my oldest memory, is Mom teaching not only that song, but one other song. And it was, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And the chorus goes like this, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. But there's another verse to that that's good doctrine and very important for you and I today. Do you remember it? It says, and if the devil doesn't like it, and he doesn't, and if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Ouch. Sit on attack. Ouch. Sit on attack. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Ouch. Sit on attack. Attack to stay. Well, I can tell you the devil doesn't like it. In fact, he hates it. He hates your joy and put something in your life this last week to try to rob that joy from you. And this week to come, just forewarning, he's going to try to steal it from you. He's going to try to rip your joy away just like he did with the Galatian church. But don't let him do that. I love those songs we sang earlier about us being saved and redeemed, that we died to self, we've been resurrected. We have a lot to sing about. That joy of knowing that God loves us, the joy of knowing that he loves us so much that he sent his son to die in our place for our sins, the joy of knowing that through the cross that we can have forgiveness and redemption of our sins, the joy of knowing that because of the resurrection, we have eternity in heaven awaiting us because Christ has power over death. That's joy. Don't let Satan take that joy from you this week. 7 days ago, from today, just last Sunday, a group of Christians came together in their church in the Congo. You may have heard it in the news. Sadly, it wasn't reported that much. Islamist extremists came in to that church with machetes and slaughtered them all. Men, women, children, beheaded many of them. As terrible as that is, I can tell you right now, those believers are leaping for joy in heaven. Why those Islamic extremists are still filled with hatred, anger, and bitterness. They have no joy. They don't even know what that is. But those believers do. And they couldn't take it away from them. Do you have joy? Now, we don't go through persecution like that. But I read stories that make me so mad. and easily it can rob me of my joy. Well, don't let Satan rob you of your joy this week. Remember, complete joy is found only in Christ, in knowing Christ and from Christ. Complete joy is found in sharing Christ. And complete joy is found in helping others grow in Christ. You can't skip those things and hope to have complete joy in your life. So as your pastor, I plead with you today, make my joy complete by going out this week and sharing your joy with others. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the joy that we have that can be found nowhere else, in no one else but Christ. Thank you for giving us the privilege of knowing that, because there are many in this world who don't know that. They're looking for joy, longing for it. They'll buy anything, do anything, say anything, commit any act in this desperate attempt to find complete joy. But it is all a lie. It is bankrupt. It is temporary. It's fake joy at best. But Father, you give us that knowledge. Thank you. Now, for those who are Christians here today, we have given our life to Jesus Christ. We are believers. I understand, and we understand, that Satan hates that we have joy. He wants us to be angry all the time. He wants us to be bitter, vengeful, discouraged, depressed. He wants us to have worry and anxiety in our life constantly. He wants to do anything he can, any way he can, any time he can, to beat us down and to strip us of our joy. So, Father, today, right here, right now, may we say in the name of Jesus that we will overcome this week. We won't listen to him. We won't give in, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we walk out of this place and we go back to our daily lives tomorrow, that people will see it in our eyes, they'll hear it in our voice, they'll notice our expression, and they'll say, "What is going on with you? Why are you so happy?" And then we can share with them why. As you're praying, no one's looking around. When was the last time you truly had joy? You were giddy, overflowing, singing with happiness. You can have that joy, and it comes from Jesus alone. Maybe we need to come to God and say, "God, forgive me. I've let Satan get me down." Sometimes we're no different than the Galatian church. We get discouraged. Life gets us. It beats us up pretty hard and causes us sometimes to forget that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I challenge you right where you are to say, "Lord, return my joy. Return the joy of Christ to me. I need that joy today." It may be that you have not experienced some of the joy that God has for you because you've never shared your faith with anyone. You never actually sat down and said, "Let me give you my testimony. Can I share with you something very important to me that changed my life?" And in just a few brief sentences, just a couple of minutes, tell them about Jesus. Oh, you'll experience a joy you've never known. Maybe God is calling you to accept Christ today. You want to surrender your life to him. You've never experienced that joy at all because you're not a Christian. Come down today. Now is the time. You can do that right here, right now. Just come down and say, "Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender to him." This can be the moment of your salvation, that you can experience complete joy. or maybe you just want to come and pray, or God is calling you or your family to join with First Baptist Church. You want to come down and say, Pastor, we'd like to join. If God is leading, this is your opportunity. Now is your time. Would you stand? All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed. And as we continue to pray, go ahead and stand right now.